This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you. So glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings, as you are each weekend, a point at listening at this time on your favorite radio station. And with me to kick off our program as co-host on New Beginnings, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He brought the term to us, our bench of advocates. He has a website. It is rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us this weekend. And have we gotten some information about, or people have responded to the terms that you used the last 2 weeks, that the fourth quarter is the New Year's Eve of 2021?
Yes.
Exciting information.
Absolutely.
And as we go into this week, we're talking about the critical job interview, but also we're drilling down a little bit, Joe, talking about the key moments of a critical job interview. And
yes.
In your opinion, what is the most critical part of that all-important job interview?
Well, I think there's a number of parts, but I know that the first 15 minutes for yourself is probably, and the last few minutes are, in my estimation, the most critical. The first 15 minutes, Freddie, I see it from the perspective of, okay, and let's be honest, many of these interviews are going to be virtual, okay? We have spent time on New Beginnings talking about how to conduct virtual Zoom interviews or phone interviews, but that first 15 minutes, Freddie, we need to make sure that we are being assessed right in regards to some the lines of questioning, okay? And if we are going to just let the cart or the horse lead the cart around, meaning us, and not asking more pointed questions of the interviewer or the interview panel or the team, we may not be assessed right because of the line of questioning. I think it's important that we bring a high level of situational awareness, another thing that we talked about, for that first 15 minutes to pick up on where this is going to go. Is it going to be conversational, Freddie Bell? Is it going to be more situational questions? And if it's that's the case, if it's not as conversational as we'd like, maybe conversational is the way we should take it, because in that case, it can be more back and forth. So, Freddie, if you're just going to ask me questions and I answer them, how will you ever determine if I'm the right fit if I don't get a chance to kind of follow up with questions for myself? How do we turn this into a conversation? What in and we've talked about Lou Adler and his teachings on that interview of, we'll follow up with, well, tell me how that applies to my job. What, you know, let's describe the real job needs of this position. That does start in the first 15 minutes, Freddie.
Interesting.
We need to be able to take some advantage of the situation, ask some good questions of the interviewing panel. So we make sure at the end of the day we are assessed right for this job, because without it, it may not happen. It's too late when it's the final 10 minutes when they say, do you have any questions for us? I teach my candidates to turn into contenders by coming out of the gates early, by capturing the first 15 minutes and figuring out where do they plug in, how do you ask questions about real job needs, challenges, et cetera, et cetera.
The first 15 minutes. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about the key moments of a critical job interview. And so far, Joe McKenzie has identified the first 15 minutes as being critical. And why is it critical? Can you lose out on an opportunity in the first 15 minutes, Joe?
You can, because if you settle into a pattern of answering questions, before you know it, 20 minutes are gone, 30 minutes are gone, 40 minutes are gone. And now you're wrapping up. And you left so much on the table that you forgot to ask. Don't wait for that to happen. Now, we all know that there's going to be some great interview situations where it is conversational. And that is what you want. You want to be able to ask questions of your own and not just sit there and answer questions. But for the situations, I think everybody should go in that first 15 minutes and identify what type of interview it's going to be. And then if it's not, then you direct that, you know, by asking good follow-up questions. Really, why you're doing that, Freddie, is to kind of showcase and highlight and feature some of the accomplishments that you have that maybe a situational question from an interview may not get around to. That's why the first 15 minutes is so critical for you as someone being interviewed and to set yourself up for success.
As we go into that interview, Joe, are there some key statements that every job applicant should share during an interview? Do we come in with some canned ideas or canned statements?
I think you interweave them into your answers. I think you set them up with your questions. But yeah, you need to, let's be honest. When you're being interviewed, the employers are selfishly thinking about what's in it for them. Okay? I know that's kind of edgy, but the fact is they're hiring someone that can accomplish something that they need to accomplish, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So those key statements shouldn't be self-serving, but they should be of great value to the employer on the other side of the table. And so whatever your statements are, remember, not self-serving, but what's in it for the employer. Those key statements should be built around that mindset.
So how do we determine what those key statements are going to be that will help to identify that you are the problem solver that the company is looking for?
Well, you just said it right there. If you can identify somehow prior to going in there or through your questioning of what are some of the problems, what are some of the pains, what do they need to accomplish, I think your key statements, again, not self-serving, but what's in it for the employer, should have that basis, okay? That's where you, if you can go in there with an understanding of what they need to accomplish or what are some of the implicit challenges that this position has, that's where you build your key statements around.
As we build these key statements, should we prepare for the panel interview or the singular interview? I know on Zoom, it's hardly just two people anymore. There are several people on Zoom and GoToMeeting calls. How best do you prepare to make that key statement the most impactful that it can be?
Well, know ahead of time what you're stepping into. You may ask who else will be joining us. But you know, going into a Zoom interview, if you are the person being interviewed, speak to the entire panel. You know, if remember, write down some of their names. So if John or Pat or Linda ask you a question, you do reference their name, but you answer to the entire panel. You're answering to the entire panel, and that's just situational awareness, knowing your audience. And you know, if it's a one-on-one and it's maybe with someone that's going to be your supervisor, then that dynamic is a little bit different. You might be able to, you know, have more of a balanced conversation back and forth. In a panel interview, it may be where it's on the panel side, there's going to be more interaction, more questions towards you. So just be ready, ask ahead of time if you can, and just be ready for anything. Have that high level of situational awareness and know your audience.
You talked about, and everyone, we're talking about the key moments of a critical job interview, and I would imagine that any of these interviews that you might have en route to a new career would be critical, but you mentioned the first 15 minutes, and you kind of touched on the last few minutes, the final few minutes of an interview and setting up the next steps. How critical is that, and how do you position that, Joe McKenzie?
Well, you're obviously, if this is a job that you want, then you want to strategize to make sure that you keep this process moving forward, right?
That's correct.
If it's a job you don't want, then cordially say thank you for your time and move on, okay? Don't take a job that you're going to be unhappy with and you're not going to experience growth. But if it's truly a job that you're interested in, you want to show a high level of interest. What are the next steps? We can't passively think that everything's going to work out on our own end. We have to take some control, some accountability for what's next. And simply by saying, you know, how do we extend this conversation? Because it's clear to me that, you know, we're going down the right path for me meeting some of the challenges and some of the accomplishments. What is our next step?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're vague with you, then you might need to circle back and say, okay, I understand that. Is there some part of this interview that has got us to the position where we don't have the next steps lined up?
Wow.
That is why the final 15, you need to come out of there with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just leave it as it is and let everything behind closed doors shake out. You need to be able to gain some commitment on what the next steps are.
All right.
And if they're vague, then you're going to have to circle back now. Don't wait for 2 weeks later. It's better to go in and say, I understand that you've got some decision, but is there something that I didn't clarify or need some clarification to make sure that we can move forward with next steps? That's why the final 15 minutes are so critical. We can't wait. We can't let things shake out without us being there.
That's really great stuff, Joe McKenzie, and we have to leave it right there. And you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell, Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a pointed listening each week right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And now it's time to turn our attention to health. And to help us in this discussion is the health director for Hennepin County, the public health director for Hennepin County, Susan Palchik. She's been with the county for 24 years. She is an expert in epidemiology. She looks at risk factors for health-related events, not just diseases in various patient communities, but she applies this information to help control health problems. And in this particular case, the coronavirus pandemic. Susan Palchik, good morning and welcome to New Beginnings.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad you're with us. Not long ago, Governor Tim Walz talked about dialing back on his plan to help stem the tide of COVID-19 in the state of Minnesota. Do you think that's the correct response right now in Hennepin County, given that We were cooped up for several months. Businesses lost their clientele. We've seen people who have become sick and then recovered. Young people gathering in big places. Is dialing back the correct response to controlling COVID-19?
I think that the actions that the government took recently, that the governor took recently, really are spot on. They're not as big and kind of all-encompassing as previous, but because we know more now, we know more about which populations are more involved in spreading the virus. We know more about where the virus is and how it gets transmitted. But we're really at a super critical point. We're seeing around four times as many cases now as we did during the May peak. And I mean, I think in May we thought it was pretty big. So we're seeing four times as much now. So there's exponential growth within the state. It's widespread community spread. We're seeing healthcare worker shortages. The hospital bed space is at a premium right now. And it's getting kind of scary because the numbers are just, they're huge.
Are the numbers large because the virus might be changing right now? Or is it a combination of the virus changing and because we're more sequestered now because of the winter season?
I'm not aware of any evidence that the virus has significantly changed in the United States. It really is. People are going inside more. We had that cold snap a couple weeks ago that drove a lot of people inside. People are having small family gatherings or small events, and they're looking at them and saying, well, it's just a small event. But it's still, you only need one person there who has the virus that's symptomatic and it can spread it to spread it to the people there. So it's people kind of letting their guard down a little bit on social distancing and the size of their gatherings and wearing a mask. They're starting to let their guard down on some of those things.
What do you say to people who say that, goodness, wearing a mask, staying 6 feet away from other folks, that can't really be the way that you control coronavirus or COVID-19? But the evidence points the other way.
This COVID-19 is a preventable disease. We don't have a vaccine yet, but we have a bunch of other tools that we have available. None of those tools is effective all by itself, but combining social distancing, wearing a mask, getting tested, if you're positive, letting the people know who you've been in contact with that you're positive so that they can then take precautions, all of those things fit together. And if we start doing those more and more, and we're not lax about going to a crowded bar or something like that, if we really watch these things, we can bring the numbers down.
When you talked about contact tracing just a second ago, it made me think about scams and frauds with regard to COVID-19. And it seems almost counterintuitive when people call your phone. The health department is actually saying, answer the phone, answer the questions, because they're trying to find out how far this disease has spread. What would you say to people who are seniors in our community who are listening to this program when they get this call from the health department or the state health department, the county health department, and they're asking about your recent relationships? What do you say to them to give them some confidence that this is a legitimate call?
That's a great question. And there are a lot of scams out there right now, which is really, really, really unfortunate. But the workers who's making the call should be identifying themselves as being from the health department. Mm-hmm. They're not going to ask any financial questions. They're going to ask questions. The nature of the questions will be about the virus. So I think kind of using that ear, that lens, is a good way to do that. But really answering the phone that's the first step.
One of your colleagues, and I believe you attended the University of Minnesota, one of your colleagues there, Mike Holsterholm, said a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that 60 to 70% of Americans will be infected with COVID-19. And in fact, that 800 to 1.6 million people will die in the next 18 months. He said this back in April. In the next 18 months, should we not have an effective vaccine? Are you hopeful with what we're seeing from Pfizer and from AstraZeneca and Moderna with regard to a vaccine, even though you may have to, in some cases, take the doses twice?
I think that the chances of having a safe, effective vaccine are pretty darn good. There's some excellent research going on, and I think that it'll roll out, but people need to understand it's not going to roll out tomorrow. The first phase of vaccine that's available will be going to healthcare workers primarily and other probably high-risk people. But it's not, again, vaccine is just one piece. It's one of the tools. So people shouldn't let their guard down around other things also. It's one of the health things that'll help bring down the spread, bring down the numbers. But we're still for quite a while going to be dealing with social distancing and things like that.
Dr. Fauci is saying to us that warnings have been out here for at least 10 years. Why have we ignored it as a nation? Why have we ignored coronavirus as a world community?
So I don't know that we've ignored it. I know that we have had over the years, we have a pandemic influenza plan that can be applied to something like COVID. I think that, you know, the anticipation was that there would be some big thing. I don't know that we ever knew exactly what the big thing would be or how it would spread. COVID has spread much more quickly and widely than I think a lot of models of previous, you know, previous models or previous exercises had been. But we're in a much more global world now than we were 10 years ago. Things just move more quickly because people are moving all over the world more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of things were in place, but I think the magnitude may have caught us off guard a little bit.
Are you encouraged by the technology that we have today that we did not have in 1918 with the first pandemic, the influenza pandemic, that will help to save more people not only in our county but around the world?
Oh, absolutely. I think that just thinking about how quickly we had a test developed for COVID, I mean, compared to, you know, what it took for other things in the past, I mean, that was just speedy. It was like way speedy. And the vaccine development, the vaccine developers are able to build upon the technology that's been building over the years for other vaccines to come up with this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a totally different place.
We're just about out of time, Doctor, but what would you say to our audience right now who are hopeful for the vaccine as we go through the winter and into next spring?
I think what I would say is it looks pretty grim right now, but this is not going to last forever. And we have control over where things go. We need to do the steps that we know that we need to do. And people are doing great stuff. They need to continue doing great stuff. They need to continue thinking about protecting themselves and other people. And for, you know, those people that are focusing on Thanksgiving, this is one Thanksgiving. I mean, it's sad to not be able to have Thanksgiving with all your family, but this is one Thanksgiving. And if we can keep our gathering small, if we can, use masks, social distancing, follow the governor's directives. The governor's directives, the most recent ones, are really using the data of who's been transmitting the virus and in what circumstances, using that data to come up with a recommendation to help stem the spread.
Doctor, we're out of time. I hope you'll accept our invitation to return again. I enjoy speaking with you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning on New Beginnings.
That would be my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Susan Palchik, she is the public health director for Hennepin County, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. What a wonderful weekend it is, and I hope you and your family and those very, very close to you are having a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And with us right now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, going 8 years strong at 1015 4th Avenue North, 612-344-2221, Kitty Harris. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And thank you so much for being with us on this holiday weekend. I know that family time is of premium this year, especially in this year of COVID. And I'm wondering, you had a blood drive just a few days ago. Can you give us an idea of how that unfolded and what were the results?
Yes. So we held our fourth blood drive this past Wednesday in conjunction with the Red Cross. And out of our 31 slots that we had available, we did have 29 people who showed up to donate blood and to make a difference. And our blood drive partnership has been going on for the past 3 years with the Red Cross. And we love this partnership, and we think it's very valuable to have this type of resource in the community for us to be able to host these so that people can come and donate blood.
It's interesting. It seems like you've got the call out to the community to help them to understand how important giving blood is, even in a pandemic. Can you give us an idea of the cross-section of people who came through? What was the demographic makeup of the folks who decided that they would give of their time and of their body to help others?
The need is consistent and constant. And one of the reasons the center loves to be a sponsor is because we are located in a predominantly African-American community. And we know the importance of having blood available, not only for emergencies, but for those vital health procedures where a specific blood type from a specific population might be needed. And so that's one of our main reasons for continuing to be that source for this community. The presenting donors that we had on this week was a mixture of young and old, and it was across multicultural demographics. And I think the draw for people right now, not only that it's the holiday season, but also that COVID, people do feel like they want to be doing something and want to be acting the community or helping in whatever way that they can. And a little known fact that people might not be aware of is that when you donate your blood through the Red Cross, your blood is tested for COVID antibodies. And so everybody who gives blood, your donation receives the typical testing to check for anything that you might have, but it also have a screening tool in place where they test to see if you have had the COVID-19 antibody in your system. And so that is also a way that people are able to help, is because if it is found that you have that antibody in you, they do call you back and ask you to donate your plasma in order to help those who are fighting the COVID-19 disease.
That's really a great benefit. And I know that the American Red Cross does a lot of work in our community. I know I don't want to put you on the spot. If there's someone who wants to give blood to the American Red Cross, or they want to connect with you in order to be a contributor, is there a resource that you can share this morning before we have to say goodbye?
Yes. So anybody that's interested in donating blood can visit www.redcrossblood.org, and then you'll be able to locate a blood drive just by simply putting in your zip code. It will populate all of the drives that are going on in your area. And so it's just a quick and easy way to do it. You go in, you donate blood. It takes less than 10 minutes, and you're potentially saving at least 3 lives. And like I said, now with this new initiative of them being able to test antibodies for COVID-19, it's even more imperative that we have people that are coming in and donating, because we know so many people have been asymptomatic with this disease. And so if you have it in your body, you have the opportunity to help in another way as well.
Wow. So did people know that up front, that they would also have that added benefit of giving blood to be tested themselves to see if they are carrying COVID?
Yes, it is one of the pre-screening questions that you ask, that you are asked when you, or that you are notified of when you go to do your blood donation the day of. They do let you know that, along with the traditional testing for HIV, AIDS, and any of those other things that they screen your blood for, before they shared that your blood would also be tested for COVID-19 antibodies.
Wow. That's great. Everybody, that's Kitty Harris. She is the property manager for the wonderful Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. So glad you're with us this weekend. Let's talk about your money and life insurance this weekend. Life insurance applications for all of us have jumped in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic has made us more acutely aware of our own mortality. No one has been more interested in their own life insurance gaps than the under 45 crowd. Application activity has grown almost twice as fast this year for Americans 44 and younger as for those 45 to 59. That according to research through September from the MIB Group, a data sharing service for insurance companies. Younger buyers are often first time applicants digging into their details to understand how life insurance works. If you're looking for a policy, here's how to ease your way through the application process and get the most out of your new coverage. Number one, plan for tomorrow, not today. Faisa Stanford, the president and CEO of industry group Life Happens, recommends focusing on two main issues. Number one, replacing your income, and number two, repaying your debts if you die. That means thinking ahead to cover your growing financial commitments as your life changes. For example, a new homeowner can skip mortgage protection insurance, which pays off your loan if you die, she says, and choose a term life policy instead. That also comes from Rosalind Lash, who is a financial educator in North Carolina. Also, you can skip the medical exam if you can. In a growing practice called accelerated underwriting, many insurers are now relying on your prescription drug use data about you from MIB Group and electronic health records to speed the process, that according to the Society of Actuaries. Accelerated applications can cut approval times down from weeks to hours, that according to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, with no medical exam required. Also, they say don't assume life insurance is expensive. Research by the life insurance trade group LIMRA, LIMRA, shows that half of millennials overestimate the cost of coverage. Only 52% own life insurance, even though 80% recognize they need it, that according to LIMRA. But the 2020 pandemic is providing new motivation. Just in October, nearly 1 in 3 millennials say they feel an increased need for life insurance due to COVID-19, that according to the consumer research from LIMRA. And to get started, all you have to do is figure out is how much you need and for how long you need it. Think about the people who depend on you. Also, how long they would need to finish school or even to find a job. Stafford suggested starting with a general guide to determine your coverage need, 10 times your annual salary is what she is suggesting. So here are the points once again. Number one, plan for tomorrow, not today, in looking at life insurance. Number two, you can skip the medical exam if you can, because in a growing practice called accelerated underwriting, there are a lot of insurers now who rely on your prescription drug use data about you from MIB Group and electronic health records to help speed the process, that according to the Society of Actuaries. Also, don't assume life insurance is expensive. Research is showing that half of millennials overestimate the cost of coverage. Only 52% own life insurance, even though 80% recognize that they need it, according to LIMRA. A lot of ideas for you to consider as you're looking at life insurance applications as a formula for buying your life insurance. Life insurance applications for all of us have jumped in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic has made us more aware of our own mortality. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with me now is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, Kelly Von Heidekamp, and she can be reached by calling 952-222-3975, or you can go online at westmetrohypnosis.com. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome back. I'm ready to reset.
Oh, good morning, Freddie. It's so good to be here, and it's really good to have this opportunity to not only offer a reset for our listeners, but for myself to do a reset as well. And so we just take this moment to breathe together. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, just breathe and let that breath move through your body. Allow that breath to exit your body and then take in another deeply, slowly, and allow that one to move through and exit. A constant cycle of taking in and letting go, of receiving a breath and releasing a breath. And notice how this is a cycle, a pattern that replicates so much of what happens in the natural world. So during these few minutes, just let yourself be a part of the grander world around you. As you breathe, take note that you are part of the natural world, where the mountains rise up, where the oceans flow, where rivers run and forests grow, where rocks remain silent and squirrels run around, where whales dive deeply into blue waters, where sunflowers grow tall and strong. You are a meaningful part of this world. In this time, claim your space here and simply breathe. Note that there are zebras running across the savanna in Africa somewhere, and in other parts, grasshoppers are hopping, and you are exactly where you need to be, breathing, taking a few moments to decompress, to reset, to renew, and re-energize so that you can move out into your world in whatever beneficial way is right and perfect for you now. Thanks for being here.
That's Kelly Von Hanekamp, the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. And this is New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you. So glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings, as you are each weekend. Appointed listening at this time on your favorite radio station.
Right now, joining us from North Point, she's a project lead for the COVID Care Project. Please welcome Kathy Carfire Paul. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Chantel.
So thanks so much for calling to talk about this project, the COVID Care Project. This sounds like a very significant project, especially for all of the new regulations that are taking place. What exactly is this, Kathy?
The COVID Care Project is a grant-funded program that started to help people deal with COVID stress or other stressors that they might be feeling. We are a call-in line so that you have a live person to talk to kind of help you figure out what to do if you're feeling stressed out or worried, or if it's normal to react like this, how do you talk to your kids, and also to help hook you up to resources that might be available for anything that is worrying you, I guess.
Wow. So it's almost like is it mostly just for emotional, mental health, and then some sort of resources, like you said, for what kind of resources aside from just talking and having someone live?
Well, we can find resources for you. Like, for instance, a recent caller had been diagnosed with COVID, and so she couldn't work for 2 weeks, and that affected whether or not she'd be able to pay her rent that month. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to get her some information about organizations that were helping people pay rent because of COVID.
Right, for sure. So is it only, I would assume not, but it's not just for people who've tested positive or has COVID or thinks that they may have COVID. It's open to anyone?
Yes, it's open to anyone and for any stressors, really, because everybody's being affected by COVID, whether they've had it or not.
Is this something that just is a very recent program that started up, or has it been going on since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic?
It's a fairly new project. Officially, we started in August, and recently we've been extended now to go in through July.
So what kind of calls, Kathy, have come in? What kind of things have you seen with this project? What are people saying? What is it that they need?
We've had people call for, they needed to get a Rule 25 assessment, which is a chemical health sort of assessment about their use, and we could help them connect to that. We could help them find resources. I had a church pastor call and who had a couple of pregnant moms that needed some extra support, so I could connect them up to some new mom programs and things like that.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We're talking to Kathy Carfire Paul. She's a project lead for the COVID Care Project. So how is this project funded? Is there a fee, Kathy, for people who call in for the services?
It is a completely free, anonymous, confidential program. We're funded through a grant through the state and the federal government, so they have no money coming to them.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So this is a call-in or email. So a person can call or they can email what their issue is, or, well, what if they have something on their mind? They just kind of need to, they're nervous about the COVID-19 pandemic. They don't know if they have it. And so people are also emailing their concerns about that as well?
They certainly can. And then we can either get them information or sometimes facts if that's what they need. I think the thing that is different about us, many agencies, of course, have their COVID-19 resources on their websites and things like that, is that with us, you'll talk to a live person. And so we can help even if you're not sure what it is that you're worrying about,
right,
or figure out the things that are important for you, because when you get stuck in stuff, it's hard to really see where to go from there sometimes. So we can help you sort of feather that out and make some plans, some changes.
Wow, this is amazing. We're talking to Kathy. She's the project lead for the COVID Care Project with North Point Health and Wellness Center. So, Kathy, the people who are on the other line when you have the callers call in, who are these people? Are they licensed therapists? Are they customer service reps? What exactly are their credentials?
I am a licensed mental health professional, but that's not necessarily my role for this. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Zay, who is our community health worker. Mm-hmm. And so basically the skills that we need are listening skills. Mm-hmm. So we want to sort of let people talk about what's going on with them, help them figure out what they need, hopefully help them feel a little better and less stressed.
Right.
So it depends on whether you get me or Zay.
For sure. Well, I think it's an amazing project. I think it's much needed. We appreciate and thank you guys for what you're doing. And sometimes people are just completely confused and lost. They have no idea, you know, what to do, where to go. So this is amazing. Thank you, Kathy. Any final thoughts, and where can people contact you for the COVID Care Project?
Our number is 612-767-9171 or 612-767-9151.
And is there a website we can go to for more information?
You can go to the North Point Facebook page, and they'll have more information about us.
All right, Kathy. Thank you so much. Project lead for the COVID Care Project with North Point Health and Wellness Center. You can go to northpointhealth.org for more information, or you can call that number 612-767-9171. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Kathy, for your time.
Thank you for letting me come on.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a pointed listening each week. Right here.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.